2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. So here's the title this morning, How to Build Personal Biblical Standards. This is our fourth message in this series, and the title this morning is just simply, Let's Start Building. Let's start building. We've been laying foundation. Just a quick review, we were created for God's pleasure. That's why we're here. Our whole reason for existence is to please God, all right? And just a couple of thoughts, then we'll come back to Timothy. We'll read that verse. The Bible says, Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. We were created for God's pleasure. We were created to please God. My life ought to please God. That ought to be my purpose in life, to please God. All right? So just a couple thoughts of review, and then we'll start with our verse here. You must love Jesus enough to want to please Him. And you must know the Bible well enough to know what pleases Him. That's part of why we're taking the time to preach this series on how to build personal biblical standards. You must have enough Christ-like character to make it real every day. You remember Solomon in the Bible. What is Solomon known for? He was the wisest man who ever lived. That was part of your skit last year, that radio program. The wisest man, he had a PhD in everything. Now, Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, but he lacked the character to do what was right. And you have the book of Ecclesiastes that follows that. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. So you must love Jesus enough to want to please Him. You must know the Bible well enough to know what pleases Him. Have enough Christ-like character to make it real every day. And then your personal standards are a reflection of your heart. Personal standards are these guidelines that I make for myself that I'm going to live by because I love God, because I want to please God. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 16. The Bible says this, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Starts with Scripture, realizes Scripture is profitable, it's practical, it really does help us, it's not just theoretical, something in a cloud somewhere, it's really for our life, and that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's for us to know how to live. So with that in mind, we're going to start with building personal biblical standards. Now here's the thing, I'm not going to tell you what your standards ought to be. What I want you to do is I want you to learn how to build your own personal biblical standards. I may share some of my personal standards with you as an example, but you've got to develop them for yourself. So you've got to start with four building blocks. If we had four building blocks, you ever played with those blocks when you were a kid? And I played with them probably more as an adult than as a kid because I have all the kids that we can play with them and I stack them up and the kids come knock them down. They just think that's the funniest thing when they're little and they get a little bit older and they get frustrated when their little brother knocks them down or little sister knocks them down. So you need these four building blocks, right? Scripture, principle, conviction, and standard. These four words, we're going to use them a lot. Four building blocks, if you're going to build personal biblical standards, and those are three important words that we've spent 3 weeks building up to. If you're going to build personal biblical standards, you're going to have four building blocks. You need the building block of Scripture. You need the building block of principle, you need the building block of conviction, and you need the building block of standard. We're going to go through, we're going to talk about all of those. Before you can have a personal biblical standard, you must develop a conviction. Standards are the rules I make for myself to live life. We use the budget as an example. If I make a budget for myself, nobody else is telling me how to spend my money. It's me telling myself how to spend my money. And it's me making some rules for myself. I'm going to spend this much money on the house. I'm going to spend this much money on the car. I'm going to spend this much money on food. And I'm not going to spend extra money over here because I don't have it to spend. Or I can make a rule. I do have money to spend over here at Starbucks or McDonald's or something like that because I do have money to spend. And I make this rule for myself. But a budget is making this rule for myself. That's what a standard is. And when it comes to our life, we need to have some rules, some guidelines, some standards for ourselves. Like don't get too close to the edge or you fall off. Just about then. Before you can have a standard, We're going to build personal biblical standards. But before you can have a standard, you must develop a conviction. But before you develop a conviction, you must learn a principle. And before you learn a principle, you must know a scripture. These building blocks are important because I can have any rule I want to for myself, but if it's going to be biblical, it's got to be based on the Bible. I mean, you can make any kind of rule that you want to for yourself or for your kids or for your family, however you want to do that. But if it's a biblical rule, then it's something with a solid foundation on it. Okay, so let me just run through that just real quickly again. Before you can have a standard, you must have a conviction. Before you develop a conviction, you must learn a principle that it's based on. And before you learn a principle, you must know a scripture. I'll illustrate that. You can have a standard without a conviction, but then you'll change your standard when it's more convenient to not have that standard. Here's the example. If you're a young man and your standard is to only date Christian young ladies, that's your standard. I think that's a good standard. I think you ought to have that standard. Okay, but you don't have a conviction to support that standard. You have a rule for yourself, but you don't have any kind of deep-seated belief. Why? So you've made this rule for yourself. I'm only going to date Christian ladies. But you don't have a conviction to support that standard. What are you going to do when you meet a really pretty, unsaved girl? Now, you've got this standard that says, I'm only going to date Christian ladies. But then this lady comes into your life, and she's not just beautiful, but she's got a great personality. You get those two together, there's something there, right? And she's rich. Right. Okay, maybe not that. But all of a sudden, you're thinking, that standard's garbage. Who made that rule, right? And now if your parents made that rule, you find yourself rebelling against your parents. If the preacher made that rule, you find yourself not telling the preacher about it. But if you're the one that made that rule, you've got this standard, and now you find yourself changing your standard. You lower your standard and tell yourself something like this, that you're not going to date her unless she goes to church with you. All right, so then she goes to church with you. And then, well, it can go on from there until you end up getting married in her church, a Catholic wedding or something like that. And I've seen it happen so many times. Why? Because there's a standard. You've got a rule for yourself, but it's not settled. It's not based. It doesn't have its foundation on a conviction. You understand the importance here. All right, now you can have a conviction without a principle, but then it's just an abstract belief with no foundation. Conviction with no principle. Now, I need a conviction to base my standard on. But before I can have this conviction, I've got to have a solid principle to base it on. What do I believe? Why do I believe what I believe? When you have a conviction without a principle, then it's just an abstract belief. No foundation. This is when you believe something, but you don't know why. Let me give you an example. A man watched his wife for years as she would prepare a pot roast for Sunday lunch. And she'd take the pot roast out of the refrigerator, and before she would do anything with it, she'd cut the end off the pot roast, and then she'd put it into the crock pot and put all the other vegetables and all that. I love pot roast. It's like Sunday meal, right? And she put everything else in there. Husband would watch his wife do that for years, and finally he came to her and said, "Honey, why do you always cut the end off of that pot roast before you put it into the crock pot?" And she said, "Well, I'm not exactly sure. This is the way my mom did it. My mom taught me how to do this. Maybe it soaks up the flavor better, or I'm not exactly sure why, but this is the way I've done it all these years." Finally, she decided to call her mom. This is the way she did something. She believed it was the right way to do it, but she didn't know why. She called her mom, and she said, "Mom, all those years, you cut off the end of that pot roast, and I've been doing it all those years, too, and I put it in there, and we've got wonderful pot roast. It tastes so good, but I just want to know why. Why do you do that? Is it for the flavor?" And her mom said, "No, when we first got married, we got a crock pot for our wedding, and it wasn't big enough to fit the whole pot roast in, so I'd cut the end off the pot roast, put part in the fridge, and put the rest of it in the crock pot. So all this time, this lady could have been cooking the whole pot roast, but she wasn't because she had watched what her mom did." Now, she did something based on not a principle. Do you believe that marriage should be between one man and one woman for life? Okay, why? Why? I want to challenge you on this. I want to challenge that. That's a conviction. That's a belief. But why? What is it? What is it founded on? What is the principle that you can say, because of this principle, I believe that it should be one man, one woman for life? I know it doesn't always work out that way because we are sinful people. And listen, if that is not your situation right now, and that's in the past, and you've gotten right with God, you're trying to serve God, just go forward from now. God doesn't care so much where you came from as where you're going. But why do you believe that? Why do you believe that? There ought to be a principle. It can't just be, well, that's what my mom always did. That's what my mom said. It can't just be, that's what my pastor said. It needs to be, this is the principle. This is why I believe what I believe. So principle needs to be the foundation for a conviction or a belief. Do you believe there's some things on TV or the internet that you shouldn't watch? I think we would all say yes. Now, we may have different things that we would say we should or shouldn't watch, but I believe every one of us would say, yes, there are some things on the internet or on TV that I shouldn't watch. Okay, so we have this belief. We understand that. That'd be a conviction. So I would ask this question. Why? Why do you believe that? Is it just because that's what the preacher said? Is it because that's what mom and dad said? If you're a teenager, is it just because mom and dad say I can't watch some things on TV, so I can't? Now, that is a principle. If your children obey your parents, you're living in your parents' authority to obey your parents. Understand that. But there's got to be a point in every one of our lives where we can say, here's what I believe, and here's why I believe it. A conviction has to be based on a principle. You can have a principle without Scripture. You see where we're going here? You start with a standard, and you have to have a belief that standard's based on. If you have a belief, but you don't have a principle, you don't have a reason for believing that, and a principle without a Scripture may or may not be biblical. Just because something's a principle doesn't mean it's in the Bible. Doesn't mean it's biblical. I'll give you just a couple examples here. You've heard this. God helps those who, can you finish it? Help themselves. Great principle. That's the Protestant work ethic, pretty much, right? It's a great principle, but it's not in the Bible. Now, the idea behind it, if a man should not work, he should not eat, but that particular exact principle is not in the Bible. It's a great principle, but I can't say here's the Bible verse exactly for it. God helps those who help themselves. Now you put together some verses, you may be able to teach that. I just want you to get this idea here. Just because it's a principle doesn't mean it's from the Bible. All right? There are some good principles that you may live by. They may be in the Bible, they may not be in the Bible. Our goal is to have a biblical principle. If it's a biblical principle, it's got to have a scripture, or sometimes many scriptures that teach. This is what the Scripture says. Now, God's Word, the Scripture, we're going to get to this in just a moment. That is the only thing that does not change. It is inspired by God. It has been preserved by God. And it will never change. It is perfect. And that is the absolute rule, the absolute authority in our life, or at least it should be. Here's one. Here's a principle. Treat others like you want them to treat you. Good principle, right? In fact, we'd call that the golden rule. And it is in the Bible, right? Right? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. So you've got these principles, and I may not have chosen the best one with God helps those that help themselves. It's just, that's one of those phrases that people think is in the Bible. It's actually not. So there are some principles that we, sometimes we live by them, sometimes we've heard of them, and they may be in the Bible, they may not be in the Bible. Here's my goal. I want to start on the other side. Instead of thinking, Here's the standard that I want to have, so I need to believe something, so I need to find a principle, so I better find a scripture to believe what I'm doing. We're doing it backwards. What we need to do is we need to go to the Bible, find what the scripture says. And when the scripture says do this or don't do this, then there's a principle. And we're going to flesh this out here this morning and tonight. I can get my principle from scripture. The scripture does not change. And then I've got a principle. I decide here's what that means, and I understand that, and then I believe that, so I do that. I'm going to try to make that just flesh it out and help you to understand that as much as possible this morning. Many good principles that good people live by came from the Bible. But if you don't know it's from the Bible or not, you don't have the authority of Scripture to anchor your principle to. When it comes to the why do you do this, why do you not do that? I want you to be able to answer that question the way kids in Sunday school answer the question, because the Bible tells me so. That's really where we ought to come from. That ought to be the foundation for not just the principles, not just what we believe, our convictions, but it ought to be the foundation for everything we do. That's what we would call our our standards. So you've got these four building blocks. You've got scripture, you've got principle, you've got conviction, and you've got standard. There's four building blocks. The order is really important. It needs to go in this order. A scripture leads to a principle, which leads to a belief or a conviction, which leads to what I do or a standard. If you go in the right order, you're going to be able to have a biblical, personal standard. All right, so we're going to start building this morning. 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means the Bible is inspired by God. The one thing that we can build our entire lives on is the scripture, right? This is the one thing that won't change. This is the one thing that lasts forever. This is the one thing that not only contains the Word of God, it is the Word of God. It doesn't just have some of the words of, let me say it the right way. The Bible doesn't just contain the Word of God, it is the Word of God. It's not everything that God knows or everything that God said, but it's everything that God wanted us to have in writing. And so here it is. And the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So that is going to be where we start. Scripture, principle, conviction, standard. When we realize we are starting, we're building our lives, and we're going to set some guidelines for ourselves, those guidelines better be built on something solid. And there's nothing more solid than the scripture. The Bible says God breathed every word that is in the Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every word that God inspired, the Bible also says, will be preserved forever. So Psalm chapter 12, verses 7, let me read this to you. The Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So not only are the words of this book that we're going to build our lives on, we're going to make some guidelines, some rules for ourselves to live by. Not only are they those rules based on a scripture that has been inspired by God, but it's also been preserved for us. We still have every word that God wants us to have. Every word that is in this scripture is inspired and it's been preserved for us so that I can live according to the Word of God. All scripture is profitable, right? And then it goes on to talk about so that we can live according to the way God wants to or unto all good works. The Bible's profitable and practical. It's not like that math you learned in high school that you never used. I have a witness for that one, right? Now, some of you do. I know some of you use trigonometry and calculus and all that stuff. You use imaginary numbers probably on a daily basis. I couldn't even find one. All right. So there's some things like that that we don't all use. Oh, some of you do, but that's not the Bible. It's not like that. It's practical. It's profitable. The Bible is useful for our everyday lives. It contains everything we need to live a life that's pleasing to God. And that's all we need. If we would take the Word of God and use the Scripture to find the principles of life. And from those principles of life, from that decide what we believe. I believe these things because there's a Bible principle and here's the scripture for it. So we have a scripture that gives us a principle and we believe something based on that principle from scripture. And because I believe it, I'm going to live it. Does that make sense? And it's all based on scripture. If it was just based on the Magna Carta, it might be good. Did I lose half of us here? Okay, all right. Remember King John? Was it King John that signed the Magna Carta? One of those. Or was it King Rich? Was it Robin Hood? One of those guys. So you got the Magna Carta. How about the Constitution? The Constitution is awesome. What an amazing thing. And we live in this nation that the Constitution is the sovereign law of our land. But there's something greater than that. The Scripture. Scripture. Okay, so with that said, we've got to base it on the Scripture. We should allow the Bible to teach us doctrine. A doctrine is a principle. A true doctrine is a principle that's true. A false doctrine is a principle that's false. A true doctrine comes from a source of truth, like the Bible. A false doctrine comes from a source that is in contradiction to the truth. What are some sources that could be in contradiction to the truth? Let me tell you the biggest one. The human mind, or the human heart. Maybe interchangeable in some definitions. Okay, so if I want a principle that's based on the truth, I need true doctrine. It's got to be based on something true, the Word of God. It can't be something I just think of. Can't be something that I come up with. It's got to be something, and there's nothing else that's unchangeable like the Scriptures. It needs to be the Bible. Let me give you an example. How many of you have heard of Isaac Asimov? All right, my age and older, you've probably heard of Isaac Asimov. Wow. Hundreds of books. He was a science fiction. How many of you hate science fiction? It's probably why you never heard of Isaac Asimov. All right. He was a science fiction writer. He died, I believe it was the 80s or something, 1980s, something like that. He wrote over 500 books. This guy was a prolific writer and amazing stuff that he wrote, these scientific things. But he was also a secular humanist. All right, so all of the things that he wrote, they were interesting, but it came from this worldview of there is no God and humans are the highest, you know, my mind is the greatest thing that can produce anything else. So he was a secular humanist. He constantly opposed evangelical Christianity, believing that all evangelicals were fundamentalists, narrow-minded, Bible-toting bigots responsible for most of the world's ills. And I don't know that he said that exactly, but it came from a quote describing him. So you've got true doctrine, and you've got false doctrine. True doctrine has to come from a source of truth, the Bible. False doctrine can come from anywhere that's not true. The human mind probably being one of those places, probably the biggest place, the human heart. There's also a man in our day, most of you would know him, same type of a thing, and his name is Bill Nye, right? We know him as Bill Nye the Science Guy, right? And just because he's an actor on TV. Now, it's the same type of a thing. He teaches the false doctrine of evolution, which is the human mind's alternative to God. So you've got this choice. I want to base my life and how I live on the Scripture. If I do that, I'm going to have true doctrine. The Bible says all Scripture is profitable for doctrine. I've got to have that doctrine. It's got to be true. Now, there is doctrine that's false. Doctrine is a teaching. It's a belief. So it's a principle. There are some false doctrines. Evolution is a false teaching. It's a false religion. It's part of atheism, which is a false religion, just getting rid of God. I just read last night that one of the first acts of the House of Congress was to remove the word in their oath, something about removing under God or how they swear. I don't remember the exact words. How they swear into office, were they removing that they're, so help me God, that's what it was. They were removing that from the official swear into office thing. That's a religion. It's humanism. It's atheism. It's the removal of God, which is a false doctrine. All right, the true doctrine. Here's a true doctrine. It's better to give than to receive. That is a true doctrine, comes from the Bible. There's a false doctrine. It's very similar, but it's backwards. He who dies with the most toys wins. You see that bumper sticker? You'd say, oh, it's just a bumper sticker. Nobody believes that. Well, we really do, even if we don't say it, right? Because just look at the way some people live, and it's all about getting more stuff. False doctrine. All right? So both doctrines, both ways people live, one's true and one's false. There's a true doctrine that says heaven and hell are real places where people go after they die. That is true. That's from the Bible. There's a false doctrine that says that purgatory is the first place people go after they die before they go to heaven. That's not in the Bible, and it's a false doctrine. So you understand, the Bible says all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, first of all. There are true doctrines and false doctrines. Just because somebody believes something doesn't mean it's right. Just because it's on the internet doesn't mean we believe it, right? I hope we understand that. Just because something is in print doesn't mean we believe it. Just because it's a nice book with a hardback cover with nice pictures in it doesn't mean we ought to believe it. Why do we believe evolution so well? I think it's because really good illustrators, they've drawn the pictures and they made it look real. Or maybe now it's because of really good computer animators. True doctrine comes from Scripture. False doctrine comes from anything that is false. So the Bible, the Scripture says that the Scripture, all Scripture is profitable for doctrine and then reproof. We'll go through this quickly. We should allow the Bible to reprove us. We're reproved when we're convicted that what we're doing is wrong. Proverbs 17:10 says this, "A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool." I'd hate to be that fool. You just don't get it, so you have to keep getting corrected and keep getting corrected and keep getting corrected. A reproof, just somebody saying, "You're wrong." Sometimes it's getting chewed out a little bit. That enters more into a wise person than 100 stripes. Being whipped 100 times enters into the heart of a fool. I want to be that wise man. That's reproof. being corrected. We should allow the Bible to reprove us. And then we should allow the Bible to correct us. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Proverbs 3:12, the Bible says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." And then we should allow the Bible to instruct us. This is also coming from 2 Timothy there. The Bible, Scripture, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We should allow the Bible to instruct us. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about taking the Scriptures and making them part of my daily life so that I set up some standards, some guidelines for myself, some rules that I live by day to day. Romans 15:4, the Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." God said, "I gave you the Scriptures so you can learn." Here's an easy way to remember this. Doctrine is what is right. Reproof is convincing you of what is wrong. Correction is changing from doing wrong to doing right. And instruction is learning how to continue doing right. And that's what the Scripture is for. All Scripture is profitable for those things. Doctrine is the truth that convicts us of our sin so that we change our direction, listen to instruction. That's all Scripture. All right? Scripture, principle, what was next? Conviction, I've just about forgot, and then standard. Scripture, principle, conviction, standard. The reason we want to have all our standards, beliefs, principles, they've got to be based on Scripture is because Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The point on principle is kind of short, so I'm going to jump in there. You've got Scripture and then principle. Four building blocks. Scripture. From Scripture, we need to be able to understand a principle. A principle is a plain statement, direction, or observation of God's will as revealed in God's Word. Look, don't get nervous. This point is short, okay? I promise. It's just, you're looking at me like you don't even believe me. Look, it's a short point. It's like this, well, it's that short. It's like the fish I caught, right? A principle is a plain statement, direction, or observation of God's will as revealed in God's Word. That's a biblical principle. A principle is a general truth from which other truths are derived. A principle is a foundation that supports an action or a series of actions. I want to have standards, my rules for my life, guidelines that I go by, that are based on something that I believe, which is based on something solid. Ultimately, Scripture. These principles. Let me give you an example of a principle. In 1687, Isaac Newton wrote a book. And I can't pronounce it in the language he wrote it, but it was Mathematical Principles of Natural Philosophy. Principles. Anybody ever read that book? All right, it's physics, right? Natural principles of mathematical principles of natural philosophy. This is interesting stuff. You know, there's some basic principles at work in our universe that can be used to figure out how things work. There's some principles that come from the Word of God that we can use to figure out how to make to guide our lives. There's some principles that God just made and created into this world that we can use to figure out how other things work. So Johannes Kepler had developed these three laws of motion before Isaac Newton came on the scene. And these three laws of motion explained how the planets moved. I think he saw five planets and he was tracking them. He understood that they moved in certain ways, but he didn't know how or what the principle was that caused the movement. He just made a lot of observations and knew that his observations were accurate. But he didn't know why they were accurate. Why do the planets move like the planets move? There's got to be something, some principle, some law or something that makes them move the way they do. But he couldn't figure it out. Then Isaac Newton came along. And as the story goes, he saw the apple fall on his mother's farm. He was there, he was thinking about it, and he discovered the principle of gravity, right? This law of gravity, and it's a foundation for the laws of planetary motion. And he said that there's a force called gravity that pulls every particle in the universe toward every other particle in the universe. That is cool. Did you know there's gravity between you and the person next to you? Do you kind of feel that pull just a little bit? Well, okay, you're not going to feel that pull because of the law of gravity has to do with sizes and densities and things like that. But every particle, gravity is a foundational principle that we use to explain our weight on Earth and our weight on the moon. How do we know how much we would weigh on the moon? I've never been there, but I could still tell you how much I weigh on the moon if I had the table in front of me or the little calculator to show me. Why? The principle of gravity. And I didn't write down the principle. It has to do with some squares and things like that. All right. It's a very, very amazing thing. It's a principle. The principle of gravity tells us when there's going to be a high tide and when there's going to be a low tide. It tells us that we can go out and jump on a trampoline and come back down. These are important things. It means that whenever somebody is on the moon and they jump, they're going to eventually come back down there as well. There's gravity. We use it for our high tides, low tides, and staying on the earth. Now, biblical principle. It's a foundational truth that helps us understand God's plan. A biblical principle comes directly from Scripture. A biblical principle crosses cultural and generational lines. It doesn't matter where you grew up, what time you grew up, and what century you grew up. A biblical principle does not change. Biblical principles are bigger than national borders and regional traditions, and they're bigger than what we would call races. I believe there's just one race, the human race, but I know our culture is divided in races. Biblical principles are bigger than that. They don't change because they're based on the Bible, which doesn't change. All right, we have to wrap it up. The Scripture is where we need to find the truth, where we find the principle to live by. From those principles, and tonight we'll get to this, from those principles, I need to develop what I believe. Am I going to agree with it? Let me give you a statement. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. All right, now that's a good statement, but it's not totally accurate. God said it, I believe it, that settles it for me. Now the I believe it and that settles it for me is talking about my beliefs and my standards. I could say this, God said it, that settles it. And that is the Scripture and the principles. I'd like to encourage you to listen to the rest of this. So if I have Scripture and there are principles, how do I determine what I believe? And then how do I take what I believe and make it into something that I live? Father, I pray that you would use this message this morning and the Scripture that was read and the challenge. Lord, I believe that you have a plan for us. I believe that you have a desire for us to live in a way that pleases you. And I also believe that you told us how to do that. I pray that as we continue this journey on developing personal biblical standards, that you would teach us, that you would open our hearts so that the things that we do reflect the Scripture that tells us how to live. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you that all Scripture is inspired and preserved. And Lord, we thank you for that. I pray that you'd help us to live it. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to love you enough to want to do right and then learn the Bible enough to know what is right to do. Lord, I pray that you'd challenge each person here to get to know you more, to study their Scripture so they can live a life pleasing to you. Lord, I pray that none of us would leave without the desire, without this push from within us, this passion to want to know the Scriptures better so that we can please you more.